The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We're going to have Merle Hodge on today, former NFL player. You may remember Merle Hodge. He was with ESPN as an analyst. He's a motivational speaker, has done that. The Struggling Cardinals. Merle Hodge has a new book out called Brainwash, The Bad Science Behind CTE. Those of you that have watched this show through the years know that we have done a lot on concussions since it first started. And this is the reason we're having Merrill on today. I, quite frankly, don't care much about the 1-6 Cardinals with Merrill Hodge, but I'll bring it up. This is what is really good for me, and I think for you too, in reading it, because of the attack on the game of football and the bad science behind CTE and the plot to destroy football. From Merrill Hodge. I shouldn't say I don't care. It's just like, it's pretty predictable. Yes, they changed offensive coordinators. It's great that they have a bye the following week. I was out at Cardinals yesterday, and I'm just kind of standing there like, you know, you can talk all day long on a Wednesday about how David Johnson's going to get involved in the offense. Do you think David Johnson's going to get more involved in the offense? Can you give examples of how David Johnson? No, they're not going to give examples. Without giving away examples, is David Johnson going to be more involved in the offense? How about getting Larry Fitzgerald on track? Whatever, they're 1-6, and they play the 49ers. By the way, Eric, have we seen, is it the same broadcast? Is it another Dick Stockton, Mark Schlereth special this week?
That's a good question. I'll have to look that up.
Efforting?
I can get that shortly.
Checking, efforting, so checking.
Just give me a second.
No, that's fine. It's fine. Go ahead and look. I got some other things going on. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and you need to do it with life insurance.
The answer is yes to that question.
It is Mark Schlereth.
Yeah.
And it is Dick Stockton.
Yep.
All right. Turn your camera on. I'm not seeing you, but that's okay. It's all right. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And when I say protect what matters most, guys, I'm talking about not just life insurance or annuities. I'm talking about 529 college plans. You may be in that space becoming a grandparent soon. You're thinking, I don't need a college plan. What about your grandkids? If you didn't come home tonight, is everything good? Are you good? Log on to SagicorNow.com. Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Merrill Hodge here shortly. Goody at the Movies is going to come up today. I don't think Bill's seen a movie in like a month because they put him on the, he's like the political correspondent now. Even though it's the week before Halloween, usually through the years with Bill, he is talking all about how Halloween is the greatest horror movie ever. And I just don't care. So I'm kind of happy we're not going to go down that path with him today. So I'll have Bill on with us here shortly. Did you watch the Suns last night? I'm just wondering how long you stuck with it. It was the Lakers. It was the Suns. And it was a blowout. Not just a blowout. So both teams shot 52% from the floor last night. So you're thinking, okay, both teams are shooting the same percentage. That must be pretty good. Well, no, the Lakers got 19 more shots off than the Suns did. The Lakers got 100 shots off in the game. I'm sitting in my office last night, and every time I look up, it's 15, 17, 19. And they're making nothing but layups. I'm not seeing very many jump shots or anything from the Lakers. And I'm looking at their lineup, and it's, you know, Lonzo comes in, he gets a strip steal, he gets a dunk, he wags his finger. LeBron is just out front making passes and making plays. Like, this game is so easy. LeBron looked like the guy at the YMCA who walks in, puts down his old school bag, walks out on the court, laces up his shoes, and just schools everybody. Nobody had an answer for him. And then Devin Booker grabs his hamstring. So what started out a week ago of, hey, the Suns were interesting and fun to watch against Dallas, who's not good, to now here they are, 1-4. When you play Golden State and the Lakers in a span of 48 hours, it doesn't matter what the Lakers are. They're still walking with purple and gold. I took a picture of the postgame show last night with Tom over on Fox Sports Arizona. And it looked like they were doing the Lakers postgame show. There was a Laker flag. There were Laker fans, Laker jerseys. They're doing all this. And there's like one little Suns fan in the back corner with a Beat LA sign that's torn up, and he's just like trying to piece it together. Did you watch last night, E? Did you,
I did. Yep, I did. I watched.
Did anything?
Not in its entirety, but I did watch.
Yeah. Was there anything that jumped out at you?
No, just, you know, any time that it's a two-on-none fast break and Lonzo Ball dunks it one-handed off the backboard, it's kind of like, yeah, that hurts.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there is, like, all the air is gone from the balloon.
All of it.
And I think, in fairness, when the Suns went on the road and played the Warriors and played some of the teams that they played, Denver, you were expecting losses. But you would have hoped they would have put up more of a fight against the Lakers, just because
there was no fight.
None.
There was no fight last night.
No, there was none.
And it wasn't a back-to-back, and it was a home game. I went down there yesterday morning to shoot around. I wanted to talk DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton was nowhere to be found on the floor. I go stand outside the locker room. DeAndre comes out. Hey, you got a minute? No, I don't. Talk to you later. Gone.
See he had ya. A good game, at least. He didn't talk to you, but at least he had a good game.
I'm fine. You know what? Getting blown off by players, that happens. It happens. And I'm not hurt about it. It's just I think that being a professional means be a professional. If you don't want to talk, that's your prerogative. I just haven't had a guy walk by on a game day in a long, long time just said, nope, I got nothing. And it's the Lakers. So I just wanted to talk to him about that. I'm not bitter about it. It's what happened yesterday. Meantime, I went out to the Cardinals and everything was great. It's we know what's going on the field, but the guys are professional. They're taking care of their business. They understand that we have a job to do. We need to bring it back to you guys. This isn't Fox News. This isn't media's bad and all that stuff. We're talking about games here. I thought the energy and the effort last night was just really disappointing. So they're off for a few days until they play Memphis and Oklahoma City. The novelty of DeAndre Ayton and the Suns in the offseason is gone. I saw Robert Sarver yesterday morning. We shook hands, chatted briefly. He along with James Jones. And now they're in this space of all the buildup, we've got the number one pick. That's all behind you. Now you're into the grind. It's kind of like the Coyotes. If the Coyotes don't start winning games soon, and the other night they won, they're going to be off the radar pretty quick, except for the hardcore fan. Not picking on them. It's just the way it is. In fact, right now, the best story going in our market is Phoenix Rising. It simply is. Fitz is going to the game. I've heard Patrick Corbin's going to go to the game. Some other Diamondbacks are going to show up. Some of the Coyotes are going to show up. It's this little story that started out brick by brick in front of an empty stadium back at Peoria Sports Complex 6 years ago when the team was on life support. And now it's turned into, if they had 10,000 seats, because that place holds 7,500, if they had 10,000 seats, they would sell 10,000 seats for their playoff game on Friday night. So one legendary number 11, Didier Drogba, is going to be on the field, and another legendary 11, Larry Fitzgerald, is going to be sitting in the stands and watching what goes on there. Later in the show, I'm going to talk to Eric about Spencer Rattler, because many of you I've bumped into or have seen you post or have seen you look at our content and other outlets' content. And Spencer Rattler's story has resonated more so than firing an offensive coordinator or, you know, any of the other nonsense that's going on with the NFL team right now, trying to figure things out. And players star player wanted to be traded and then rescinding it. And was it his agent who put it out and all that stuff? Story with Spencer Rattler is really interesting because the dad is very much involved in this story. When I see a dad say we crafted a narrative and it wasn't true, it was a lie, well, then we have to weigh in on this. And so we'll do that later in the show. Up next, Merrill Hodge will be with us. Brainwash, the bad science behind CTE and the plot to destroy football. We'll have Merrill Hodge on with us next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So I've been talking about this book, Brainwash, the bad science behind CTE and the plot to destroy football. We've been talking quite a bit about this subject through the years. And Merrill Hodge, of course, you know him from ESPN, former NFL great. And he decided to put a book together with Peter Cummings, MD. I will give him the opportunity as to explain why here in a couple of moments. I will just say this, that as we do segments and shows on the Football AZ show, and we've talked about CTE and the tactics being used to put out information that is very good in some spaces, but very, very bad in others, that is harmful and is seems to me coming from people that just want to make sure they capitalize financially on the downfall of the NFL. This book, Inside and Out, as I'm holding it up now, this book is one that you must read if you're one that is a fan of football. But I think even on the journalism side, you should take a much closer look at this. And with that as a backdrop, we welcome on board Merrill Hodge. The name of the book is Brainwashed. How are you, Merrill?
Brad, I'm good, my friend. How about you? Everything good?
Everything is peachy keen. And I wish I could tell you that this book didn't just pierce me to the heart, but it did. And here's why, Merrill. I have a son who is the youngest of four. He is 6 foot, almost 6 foot five. He is 13. He weighs 290 pounds. He is a wrestler. He is a water polo player. He has made the Olympic development team in water polo, but now he wants to play football. And I'm reading your book, and I'm sitting here in media for the last 30 years, seeing and talking with players that I can no longer put on the air because I don't want to embarrass them, because they've had whatever it may be, whether it's depression or CTE, whatever it may be, I just don't want to put them on the air for their safety. So I'm sitting here as a dad reading this book and saying, okay, what am I going to do here? So let's just start there on what would you tell a father in my space about the game of football and safety?
Well, Brad, that's probably the biggest reason I wrote the book, because I'm a dad. I love my kids without end. My son wanted to start playing at age 7. And when he wanted to play, he'd been playing all kinds of sports. And when he wanted to play, here's why I was most excited. It wasn't that he wanted to play. It was that I got to create a better, safer environment for him when he played the game of football. Mm-hmm. And what I meant by that, I became a coach, and I established a head trauma protocol in 2003 in youth football. I made protocol a part of our language, a part of how we handle things. And I told them football is a tough game for tough people, but it's also an intelligent game for smart people. And if we get hurt, we're going to address it correctly. My rule was, if you had any concussion, practice or game, you were removed and you didn't play the next week. And depending on the severity, we're going to get you looked at. And it's something, I mean, listen, I established different practice protocols. We didn't have any live practice, but once every 15 minutes, once every 2 weeks. We only practiced twice a week, and we played on Saturday. In almost a decade of coaching youth football, all I coached camps too, almost 20 years, if you include all that. I had two concussions, two kids that had a concussion on age 13 and 14, removed from the game. They didn't play again. And that was in 2003. 2008, I go to Congress and challenge them to mandate a protocol for all youth sports, ages 8 to 18. Nothing was being done for the 99% of the kids who are playing football at all activities are 8 to 18 and we did nothing. Mm-hmm. So making the game safer and better is a passion of mine. And I just think that you usually have two kinds of approaches to this. Either about making solutions, find a way to make things better and safer, or it's excuses, throwing mud, slinging arrows, yelling and screaming. I would rather be a part of the solution. I've been doing that for a long time. I see the headlines in the paper. You just refer to, you know, players that you haven't wanted to, you know, put on air. Yep. For whatever reason. Listen, my career's ended because of head trauma. I've been through depression. I've experienced about and lived about everything a person could live from a head trauma football perspective. I've never worried about my son getting a concussion because I knew now he was going to get cared for it. For nearly 90 years, we did nothing for that particular injury. Probably the majority of your listeners played a sport in an era that we did nothing for head trauma protocol, ignored it. Well, that has changed drastically. And see, that's one of the reasons I wrote this book, is to empower people with the real truth of not just the science, what science really says, mm-hmm. versus what you see in the headlines, but the treatments and therapies that are available if a head trauma does happen in your life. And keep in mind, that arena can be outside the sporting arena. You know, that can happen in everyday life. My son, who started age 7, is a quarterback at BYU, has played 15 years of football. His first concussion was he slipped in the shower 4 days before he's about to play in his bowl game, first bowl game as a freshman. well, he becomes ineligible. I mean, it's 4 days before, and he was crushed, but I was like, he wasn't going to play. He was the backup anyway, but I'm like, you're just ineligible, Bo. I just, yeah. Unfortunately, that's the way you got to handle this injury. So, I mean, there's just so many good things in sports. They're so much better and safer. The science actually, quite honestly, the thing that really, going from New York to L.A. up into Canada, talking to the greatest minds in this world, asking them, like, where are we? There was one universal comment I would always get, and this is talking to great neuropathologists. People have been doing it for decades, and pediatrics through adolescence, you know, a whole wide scope. All of them would always refer to me, Brad, as we are in an observation state, meaning we don't know what causes it, and we don't know what affects from it. There are cases of CTE where the person never played football, never played sports, never had a concussion, and never had any history of head trauma, and they have that pattern. But nobody knows about those cases. It is not just people who played football. It's people who didn't play football. So there's a big percentage of those cases, and nobody knows about that, but that does tell you the female gender is not even included in the process.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you think you can come up with a scientific conclusion, direction, or answer without including them. And people will say, they had to play football, or they only played soccer. No, that's not true.
No. You're
a friend of mine, a colleague, and she played football back when I was playing football, youth football. So
yeah, you're talking.
We have to include the whole scope before you come up with conclusions and answers.
Yeah, you're talking to a football dad on one hand, potential, but you're also talking to a soccer dad of a daughter who had to quit the game because in college she had 3 concussions. And so I get entirely what you're saying. The name of the book is Brainwashed. Merrill Hodge is with us, and you can pick this book up. It is now out and available, and it is a must read on this subject. I guess as I read through it, what you're trying to accomplish with the book, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, is the education side, but also that football is under attack. There's been some bad reporting, some poor journalism too. Why don't you talk about the poor journalism side and what made you put this book out?
Well, you know, in the book, we do a good job, and, you know, that's why Dr. Cummings is so vital. And a lot of the doctors that I use, you know, I use a wide scope of doctors to make sure, you know, that we really had our facts right, the science right, is, you know, you read a science paper, and there'll be literally these words in there. Caution, I'll give you an example, age of exposure, okay? Mm-hmm. They came up with a science paper that talked about, you know, and this is what really scared, I think, a lot of parents. They're like, you know, let's use the science paper first. The science paper has the bottom, it has the word caution in it. You can't use this, and I'm paraphrasing now, but the word caution is there, and the words can't use this to guide any policy or direction for youth sports. It's literally in the science paper. Mm. And I have that in the book. We have it on the website too, brainwashedbook.com. So you can read this. It's not something I'm making up. You know, want you to read it because we want to get really people to empower themselves and learn. But the word caution, you can't use that. Now, the people who wrote the science paper now get interviewed in the media. And they use things like this. This is clear evidence that this disease is more prevalent than we thought. And can affect your kids playing football. And the science paper doesn't say anything like that. And it was just mind-boggling to me that how can the person who wrote the science paper say that in the media? And I just find that it's so abusive, and it's abuse of the Hippocratic Oath. And nobody's going to go read the science paper. I'm just telling you. I bet you all your listeners, unless they're scientific, they probably don't read it. And even if you are, I'm telling you, I had to have neuropathologists and neurologists go, hey, explain this to me. This is Japanese in some ways. I understand the caution part and all that, but the rest of it, and it became alarming that what we're seeing in the media and the headlines you see in the media, the science doesn't support it. And I was like, how unfair is that? And I guess that was really what drove my passion. That people all the time come up to me and they're like, oh, I won't let my son play football where he's going to get a concussion and get CTE. And I'm like, well, why are you getting that? And I read or I saw, and I'm like, you know, people, you know, really don't know. And yeah, I don't expect them to have lived what I've lived. So how can I help them, empower them, you know, give them the information and let them do it with what they want? And I'm not saying, hey, let your kids play sports or not play sports. But I'm like, boy, I think we all make better decisions when we're empowered. We have really all the facts there versus maybe something that scared us to death, and then we make a decision that way. And I just would rather live – I don't want to live scared. I'm hoping this book will help people not live scared and be more empowered and stay active. And their kids have a passion to play sports. They won't be as worried about it because they'll know, hey, if they do get hurt, this is what we do to help them. And there is things to do that should make them feel more comfortable.
Merrill Hodges with us as we're talking about the book Brainwashed. A couple other questions, I'll let you go. You write about CTE and substance abuse, that there is a link, that football alone does not cause CTE. This is pretty deep, heady stuff, but you've got the doctor, the science to support that. Putting this in the book, was this a difficult step for you to do, to take these thoughts and put them down on paper?
Well, listen, yes, in some way globally so that people could understand it and we could make it simple. That was a challenge. But what the evidence, the scientific evidence is really strong in, is there are a lot of variables that could contribute. And listen to my language, that could contribute. That's all you see in the science paper. Nothing says this causes it. You play football, you're going to get A. There's no science of that. They start putting variables like, age, obesity. Obesity is such a big one. It's almost in every neurodegenerative disease known to mankind, almost every disease from cancer, heart disease, cardiovascular disease. I mean, it's a critical role in all of it. That always pops up. You know, sugar, inflammation, and like those things are really controllable. You know, we can do something about those things, you know, genetics, opioids, drugs, alcohol, all those things, aside from the genetics, you know, we do have choices and we can help ourselves with, which in the book we try to help empower people too, which is the lifestyle you can create, how you reduce inflammation, things that help that, help with obesity. Activities is a big part of staying healthy. So the book is largely about that type of stuff. You know, there's been too much doom and gloom. We want to be exciting sports. Youth sports are so much fun. I'm telling you, I wished I could make a living coaching youth football. I'd still be doing it. Greatest thing I've ever done in sports. But when you see a kid smile at you through that face mask after they did it right and they felt it, and you're like, man, game's over. You're devastated. You lost. And you listen to the kids, and they're like, hey, who's going to get pizza? Hey, you want to go to my house? I'm like, oh, my gosh. That's exactly how it should be. We had fun, and they're off to playing and pizza. I'm like, man, just love just new sports. And if the kids want to have a passion to play, I hopefully you'll read the book, and it'll help you with that choice if you choose to let them play sports.
Before I get you out of here, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you what's going on out here in Arizona. You know, it's a team that is struggling mightily. They've let go of their offensive coordinator. They have a new quarterback, a rookie that's come in here. They're not winning much. It's a tough product to watch. What's your overall view of what's going on out here for a team that had a good extended stretch, granted, with Carson Palmer and others?
Yeah, you know what? Well, you give me 2 years ago, I used to watch tape on every team, and I don't want to be that analyst who's just watched some game, to watch some TV and some highlights and give you a fair assessment, because I used to always say TV lies and highlights really lie. And it always bothered me that analysts come in, get a statistic, you know, and then they start making an observation without studying tape. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really know. Here's what I do know that can be a problem with anything. When you have turnover and you have change, fitting philosophies into personnel can be a challenge. You know, that's kind of what's gone on. That's some of the things that could be a problem with the Cardinals. Now, why do some teams – I remember when Chuck Noll retired, Bill Cowher came in. And we have the best record in football. We probably should have went to the Super Bowl that year. We just laid an egg in the playoffs, but we had the best record in football. We had among the best teams in football. And the year before, we were 8-8. But what really kind of changed it when Bill came in – is we tweaked our philosophy just a little bit to fit the strength of our personnel. He had great coaches around him. Listen to the defensive staff: Dom Capers, Dick LeBeau, Marvin Lewis, and obviously Bill Cowher.
It's getting it
done. That was our defensive staff. So, you know, I think that can obviously be a part. You got a young kid playing, you know, quarterback, too. There's a lot of newness there, a lot of unfamiliarity, and those growing pains can be severe. And I know they're going through it right now, but, you know, you got good core people in that organization. You know, you'll see improvement this year. I don't expect it to be long, but when you do all of those things, then you lose a coordinator. That's always very disruptive, you know, and it's kind of hard to rebound throughout the year when you do those kind of things. But that kind of learning process can truly help you for next year.
Last question before I let you go, and that is, what has been the feedback to this book? I've seen the New York Times op-ed piece that you penned. What's been the overall feedback?
Brad, I'm going to give you – I've never met you. I know nothing about you, but you are the type of people in the media we need more of. Mm. You did the one thing that nobody has done that has evaluated this book, mentioned this book, talked about this book in a negative manner. Nobody's read it. Everybody – I did a USA Today article, and she never read the book. And I was like, well – how do we talk about the book if you didn't read the book? Yeah. She'd already had her mind made up. She had an agenda. And I was like, I just don't know how you can be a journalist and not read the book if you're going to evaluate the book. I'm finding that very hard to believe. So I credit you, because that's ultimately what we're trying to get out of this too, is this has been so one-sided and negative and scary. And honestly, the science doesn't say that. I mean, we need collaborative efforts. We need a lot of good minds worked on this. Every other neurodegenerative brain disease has collaboration. Only this one doesn't. It only comes out of Boston University. Now, that just doesn't look – that doesn't look right anyway. You know, that should – the science world already frowns on that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know – you know, emails aren't included right now. We have cases of CTE. Listen, there's only 300 cases in the medical journal. Well, I don't know. I mean, the book, we talk about that. But in the New York Times alone, there's been 333 articles on the subject. So we got more articles written in one resource than we have cases in the world. Like, you know, and we got people running around thinking if I get a concussion, I'm going to get CTE. And there's absolutely no scientific evidence of that. Subconcussions are not even scientific. It's really a made-up thing. They haven't done the science steps to confirm how you even evaluate that, because it could be anywhere from playing on a football field to jumping on a trampoline. Well, if that's the case, we're all doomed. That's why, you know, you need to read the book, and you did a heck of a job with the type of questions that you need. People want answers to, and that helps them make decisions. A much more strong way to make decisions with all of the evidence there versus something might scary on it in a headline.
The name of the book is Brainwashed, The Bad Science Behind CTE and the Plot to Destroy Football. Merrill Hodge. Merrill, appreciate the time. Good luck with the book.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate your time. Good luck.
There's Merrill Hodge there with us for a couple of minutes. Appreciate his time on the show. Sports360AZ.com. All right. So last night, not only did I watch the Suns and Lakers, I was buried in my office last night. I'm doing something really cool on a personal development level that I can't share with you yet. I'm not there yet. I've accomplished some major milestones on this personal development journey. So it's something I'm working on that I was finishing up last night, and I will be able to talk more about it probably next week. And it's good. It's good. I had a mentor that told me back in 2011 when I started doing this, when I left Channel 3, and he said, hey, just so you know, if you want to go do this, that's great. Just be prepared. You're not going to get people to return your phone call like you used to. You're not going to have people invite you to nice, swanky dinner parties like they used to. You're not going to be asked to MC the biggest events and be the center of attention like you were used to. And just if you're prepared for that, Brad, then go do Sports 360 AZ or at the time Pros to Preps. And this person was dead flat right. It was funny. People that were leaders in the community that, you know, this table or this dinner party or this or that, yeah, they kind of just stopped. And you found out in a hurry who some of your real friends were, or some of the business people in town that were, oh, I should give this a chance. It's just people are afraid of change. And it's been very rewarding, but the same mentor challenged me a couple of years ago to go do some things that I've decided to go chase. And just kind of, I call it snow globing, you know, shake it up and be snow globed. I think if you're snow globed in life, if you're being challenged in life, and instead of just doing the same old stuff every day, and I try to do that here with the staff, you know, go do some different things or go take time off or just get out of here. And so I got snow globed a couple of years ago personally, and it's led to something that I'll just probably next week, I'll work it into the show. That said, so looking ahead to the college weekend, if Arizona State loses to USC, then they're out of the Pac-12 South. They already have a foot in the grave. Just so you know, they're going to go sign a fifth-year senior transfer quarterback after letter of intent is done. I didn't have all the money that went out in the lottery last night, but if I did, I'd bet a good size of it. They are going to go get a fifth-year senior quarterback. It's going to happen. They're not going to do it, and they're not going to announce it until after letter of intent day is done because they got to get these two high school quarterbacks to sign the LOI. So it's going to happen. If it's Kelly Bryant, great. I don't think it is, but there's going to be a fifth-year senior coming here. I'm just guaranteeing that. Arizona plays Oregon, and Jordan's going to go to that game. I have not seen yet. Eric, have you seen? Did Kevin say if Rhett Rod's going to go or if it's back to Khalil?
I have not seen.
I have not seen that.
I would assume it's probably going to be Rhett Rodriguez, but I have not seen.
Rhett Rodriguez story is one of the best stories going in our state. The other story that I would say, I don't think it's a great story, is Spencer Rattler. So let's get into this. I know we have Bill, and if Bill's a little late, Bill's a little late. So let's go through this a little bit, because you're in the middle of it. Eric's in the middle of this.
Oh, I'm not in the middle of it. I sort of put
it's
myself
Eric's
in the middle of
reason,
it.
So. Eric is the reason Spencer Rattler got suspended.
False.
Eric is the reason that Spencer Rattler's not out on the field.
Erroneous.
Eric is the one that hurt his knee.
Lies.
Eric is the one that provided him the crutches to be out on the field at senior night.
I can't think of another adjective, but that's not true either. So.
Okay, so let's be truthful with each other here, because we're not getting truth from the Rattler family. When I saw the first report, which was Richard Obert at the Arizona Republic, it was very clear that the family fed that to Richard Obert, and that's fine. Richard's been around a long, long time, so they hand-deliver him this story. When the dad of Spencer Rattler says, we had to handcraft, it was a craft a narrative.
Craft a narrative.
Craft a narrative.
That's a really nice way of saying figure out a lie.
Yeah, we're going to lie. We are going to lie about what happened with our son, who happens to be the number one quarterback in the nation, who happens to be someone that we've done stories on over and over and over and over on this site. He's a very interesting kid. We did a documentary on him when he was a sophomore. It was great. It's good stuff. We got used. I got used last week when it was, well, he's got a knee injury. And we just got the narrative that was crafted was Spencer has a knee injury. He's out 3 to 6 weeks. I'm looking at that saying he should just shut it down and go to Oklahoma because Kyler Murray is leaving. Because I was told, we were all told, I was not told personally, that Spencer Rattler had a knee injury. Eric sends me a text night before last saying, I've got the Rattler story. I said, what's up? Is he hurt? He's like, no. And then he sends me the link. And I'm like, the dad lied. So let's get down to this on this side of it. You have written in your zone read. I haven't seen. Have you published it yet?
I have not. Nope, it's not complete yet.
So Eric and I spoke yesterday, and I was really not happy being lied to. I don't like being lied to, ever. Nobody should like being lied to. I don't like being lied to by a high school parent about his kid's knee injury. When you lie to the media, am I supposed to trust anything else you say, or are there more lies? So I started asking people as I'm out yesterday at the Suns and out yesterday at the Cardinals. And they said, yeah, we have video of Spencer on crutches for senior night. And then he was limping around on the sideline like he was hurt. Facts are, he wasn't hurt. So
we don't know the real fact of what happened, but we do know, correct, he was not hurt. There was no MCL injury, which would require him to miss 3 to 6 weeks, as Sports 360 AZ learned over the weekend from someone familiar with the situation.
Yes. So the narrative that was sent out by the dad that was crafted is, we're going to create this mirage, this lie that you hurt your knee, we're going to put crutches on you, and you're going to hobble around with us.
Yep.
Did the teammates know?
Nope. The team, from what I was told from sources, got the same song and dance spin that the media and everyone else did. So players inside the locker room were told that Spencer was injured and not playing.
Does lying in sports happen?
Of course.
Do we like being lied to? No. Do we get lied to around the NFL draft time about who coaches like, or the NBA draft?
Of course.
Yes, we get lied to about that all the time. We don't get lied to because something else happened off the field. As far as I know, we don't know exactly what happened off the field. Correct?
Correct. But we do know the actions of the Radler family were selfish. We can all agree on that.
Have you reached out to them?
I have.
Okay.
I have.
Have you talked to Spencer?
I have reached out to the family, and okay. I've talked to the dad via email.
Did you let the dad know that he was a liar?
I did.
How'd that go?
He was pretty contrite and honest.
Are you sure he's being honest? He lied to you once.
And didn't really try to defend his reasoning for the false narrative that they created.
He's just trying to get Spencer through here and get him to Oklahoma and make this a speed bump.
Yeah, and honestly, Brad, I talked Spencer about this last summer. This kid's been done with high school football. Just to call a spade, he's been done with high school football for like a year and a half.
Should that warrant a lie by the dad?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Right. Do I think that Spencer is upset at what happened? Yes. Do I think that
he's mad at his dad for lying?
Probably. Do I think that he regrets whatever he did? Absolutely. Do I think that he's absolutely heartbroken that he can't play the rest of the year? Not totally sure about that.
And you don't know exactly what happened. You don't even have an inkling.
No. I mean, I know. I just hear rumors, but yeah, those aren't even worth talking about because they're just rumors.
Right.
But it was something substantial that he did that would warrant a year-long suspension. It wasn't a game. It wasn't a half. It wasn't two games. It could be essentially up to six games if they reached the championship.
I was not happy the other night. Is that best way I can put it? Because I don't like being lied to by anybody.
And it's difficult, Brad, because it was the adult that made the poor decision. I mean, the kid made the poor decision, but kids make bad decisions. You would think that the people involved in this would have
the adult acted like a juvenile
a little bit.
Yeah. Did he apologize?
Did who apologize?
The dad to you.
He did apologize. He did apologize. I just thanked him for getting back to me.
Got it. All right. Just want to clear that up. Goody at the Movies is next. Stay with us. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it's time to go to the movies with Bill. Goody Coons. Goody. At the Movies. I'm trying to sound like Harry Callis. Remember Harry Callis?
Yes.
Bill. Goody. Coons. Look, let's just be straight with each other. It's Halloween time. Johnny English Strikes Again looks dreadful. Hunter Killer looks awful. There's all these movies that have to do with chainsaw massacres because it's Halloween time, which is fine, but there's nothing as good as the movie Halloween. And I know every year you like talking about the movie Halloween. I tried to watch it on AMC the other day and was like, why does Bill like this movie?
Come on.
And there's other stuff I want to get to you about, but there's nothing good to watch, right? Right now, this is like the dead period before the holiday season.
For me, it's the dead period before the election.
I'm
pretty much writing about politics. But I can't. Well, part of the problem is you watched it on AMC because they have commercials and they cut stuff out.
Yeah.
And boy, you talk about just good parenting. I've let my son see Halloween. I let him see it a while back.
Oh, he really
likes scary movies, which is good. Well, now he's 15, so it's fine. But the I let him see it before that. But he saw it. He saw it on AMC one time, and he didn't like it. And then I showed him like the real one when it finally came to, you know, I forget how. It shows up on one of these streaming services, and he liked it a lot better. He's like, "Whoa, that is scary. You know, that is good." So I would recommend that you do that. But I was thinking about this today.
Yeah.
If there are three comedy movies that everybody ought to watch, that was sort of, you know, and I hate to say it like this, but sort of like guy movies, you know, it's got to be this is Spinal Tap, Caddyshack, and Animal House.
Yeah.
And so, but if there are three horror movies for me of a similar thing for anybody, Man, Woman, and maybe not child, but
baby,
my children. It would be Halloween, The Exorcist, and The Shining.
I remember back in the day, I worked at a movie theater when I was 16. That's why I love movies like you. I worked at a movie theater when I was 16, 17, 18 in high school. And they did a midnight screening of Exorcist, brought it back, because this Exorcist came out in the 70s. So this was in the 80s. And there was a lady, and she had her infant and took her into the see the Exorcist, infant. And I'm just like, are you drunk? Are you high? What are you thinking here? What are you, nuts? You're taking a...
But you go to these screenings all the time, and you see these either horror movies or these, like, super violent movies.
Yeah,
people will be in there with, like, their 10-year-old kid or their 8-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, what are you doing? Come on.
When I was in college, I took a class. I was an English major, and by the time I was a senior, you finish all your core stuff, so you get to take electives and stuff. So I took this class called Gothic Supernatural Literature, where basically you read scary books.
Of course you did.
Well, I'll tell you this. The better class, I only had to take one math class, and it was called Math, a Cultural Approach. So I took this class, and I worked at the school newspaper, too, so like I was always behind on my reading and stuff. And it worked out that we were going to have a test on The Exorcist on a Monday, and it was Sunday night, and I hadn't read it. So I had to read The Exorcist in one sitting, in one night. And it was so scary. Even I think it's the scariest movie ever made. The book is scarier. And I was so scared, I had to go to the bathroom from like 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., but I wouldn't get off the couch until one of my roommates got up to go to the bathroom, because I was not going to go through the house by myself. I love that book, though, and that movie.
Good to eat the movies with us. All right, Netflix, The Haunting of Hill House. What is this about?
Well, it's based on this, loosely based, as they say, on the Shirley Jackson novel, which is great. If you like scary books, I mean, that's one that you kind of got to have. It's about this house that's haunted, and it's the way that they do it is they go back and forth in time. There's now where the children are grown, but then they go back in time of how living in this haunted house screwed them up, which, as you know, you probably would if it was truly haunted. It bounces a little back and forth a little bit too much, but I've talked to you about this. I have this new definition of reviewing TV shows. Since I don't really review them professionally anymore, the only thing that matters to me is how captivated they keep me on the treadmill at the gym. Something like Jack Ryan, you know, if I was going to review it, I might say, well, here's some holes in it, and you know, it's okay, but here's some problems. But man, as a diversionary thing on the treadmill, it's 5 stars. I mean, because there's like a big, you know, a big tense, you know, showdown every episode or something, and that's sort of like what this is. And then, you know, it really, you know, I like a thing that you look up and it's 10 minutes have gone by, and you're like,
kind of like the Cardinals offense. It's kind of like the Cardinals offense, you know.
Now that's dangerous on the treadmill because you'll fall asleep. You know?
that's
not true. I mean, I guess they're not.
All or nothing, right? All or nothing.
When I came here, when I moved to Arizona, the problem with the Cardinals was, I mean, they lost. They were terrible, and that was bad enough. And they played at Sun Devil Stadium, which, you know, was not that great for professional football either. But I didn't know. I don't think I'd ever been to a professional game before then. What did I know? So the problem with the Cardinals was not that they were bad. It was that they were boring and bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they were going out there and, like, losing these shootouts or something. They were going out there and getting beaten, like, you know, 16 to nothing or something.
Yeah,
you know? And,
yeah,
you know, at least now, you know, two pick sixes in the first quarter. Yeah, that's history, man. It's like watching Tiger win majors. I like seeing history.
Okay. One other note here, because our time is short. It says here that you're the worst PA announcer in the history of Tempe Prep football. Now, I'm wondering, are they finishing up their season? I have not looked. How's Tempe Prep doing? Is this it?
They're not doing as well this year. They didn't have a lot of players come out, so they have a very, very young team.
Yeah.
But that's not the problem with the PA. They didn't have an announcer, so they asked me if I would volunteer. So I did it. And there's two problems, and one of them is not mine. One of them is this.
Yeah.
They wear dark blue jerseys with black numbers.
Oh, no.
And from a distance, I'll tell you this, from a distance, 82 looks identical to 22. And when I say distance, I mean about 30 feet. And I'm like up in the press box. They play at Mesa Community College. So I'm up in the press box, you know, and I'll say this too. The kid who's number 22 in full uniform looks a lot like the kid who is 82. I mean, they're shaped kind of the same. It's not like one of them is not like, you know, like 6'2", and one of them is 5'8", you know, anything like that. So I have twice this season given a touchdown to the wrong kid. And
the parents come up and yell at you, right? The parents come up and yell at you about that?
They're pretty nice to me. I think they feel sorry for me, honestly.
That's my kid out there. That's not him.
No, it's more like he's like just really polite. Like, look, I know it's hard up there. But my own son, who 2 or 3 years ago didn't care a lick about football, and now he actually starts on this team. I came up to him after a game, and he said, "I recovered a fumble. Why didn't you say anything?" I didn't even see it.
Your own son. That's beautiful.
Well, you know, sometimes we mention my friend Michael Young, who's the basketball coach at Wofford College.
Yeah, yeah.
And he texted me, and he said, "You're an idiot. I'll pay somebody $50 to sit up there with you and be your spotter."
Get it right for your son.
Here's the other problem. They played Globe last week, right?
Yeah.
And it was a home game because I only do the home games. Globe's away uniforms. They're white jerseys with white numbers outlined in a thin little gold.
Awesome.
You'd have to be. And I just announced at the beginning of the game, I said, due to the unusual color scheme of the Globe Tigers or whatever, I may have some trouble telling you who did what.
That is great. I'll let you go off that. I love that.
You know what?
Yeah.
Next season, binoculars.
You going to do it? You'll do it next year, right?
Yes.
All right. Keep doing it.
Only way I can go is up.
Oh, yeah, right. And hopefully your son covers a fumble. See you later. I'll get you out of here. There's Good Eat the Movies. His own son recovers a fumble, and he butchers it as a PA announcer. I'm amused by little things. Can you tell? Eric Sorensen does a terrific job as always. Devin Henry, he's okay. He does his thing, and he does it well. He actually showed up on a TV show this week, and we got numbers. We got ratings, so you know, we got that going for us. There's plenty of content over on the website, sports360az.com. Make sure that you check it out. Have yourself a great day.